I let it linger a little bit. Let it linger. Sean seemed to be digging it. I wanted to impress him.
Yeah, good song. I don't know it, but sounded all right.
It's actually my brother's band, Gray Sky Eternal. I don't know if they're...
Is that right?
I believe they're defunct at this point.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is William, right? How's William doing?
Good old William. He is... he's no longer rocking with Gray Sky Eternal, but he's all right. He's hanging in there. God, we're all, it seems, coming in hot as hell. But
nice.
Whatever. I don't care. It is another Papa's Football Podcast. I am joined by my usual companion, co-host... Helper, henchman, what the hell are you? Howard, what are you? The co-host? Come on. The host?
Yeah, no. I run the show.
How about that? There you go. You run this beat. And I also have a treat, a man I have not seen. I mean, I guess we walked the same halls in high school, but
man,
realistically.
Yeah. Since elementary school, man.
Since
organized public school, man.
we have not been in the same class together for, easy 20-something years.
Yep.
Sean T. We'll keep it anonymous.
We don't have to keep it anonymous. I don't care.
There you go. That's a man with stones, Howard Flood. Not hiding behind.
For all the shows.
This is Turner. If anybody's listening, that's Turner.
There you go. I'm John Papagiorgio. In case I didn't want to derail my own chances at anything, there you go. It's all done.
That's funny.
So the show site is pfpod.com. We talk football every week, the week that was, the week that's coming up. Find the show on Stitcher or iTunes. I guess that's it. We can just cut to everything that happened this weekend. It was a very, very busy weekend, I think, by anyone's standards. Not just because of the Saturday games, I guess, in a way to atone for Thursday night's game.
Yeah, something like that.
Most unwatchable thing I've seen in some time.
Yeah.
You did get to scout. It was a good game to scout two quarterbacks that you just didn't really care to see.
That's like checking out women I don't want to bang. That's about as useful.
You guys want to go check out some ugly chicks?
Yeah. that first drive, I think, by what's his tits? The guys that look like Jesus Christ, Whitehurst. and he gets God. He gets the touchdown, like opening drive. And I was like, I almost feel guilty turning this off, but I still did. And then I came back like 18 drives later and it was still 7-0 or something just horrific.
I mean,
wow.
The short of that game, it does look like Bortles might not be an NFL quarterback still. We're still like trying to figure out.
What? The Jaguars botching on a...
Yeah, oh, I know, right?
So the big stories of the week, Howard was the good broadcaster behind the scenes and made me pick three, and he really picked them. So there you go. the woman behind the throne, if you will. Steelers clenching at least a playoff spot. You're telling me they've not sealed up the North, correct?
They have not. They have a game against Cincinnati in Week 17 that's going to decide the AFC North.
And we're pretty open about the fact we record Monday afternoon. Cincinnati is playing this evening, but you're telling me because it's a head-to-head game, Week 17 with the Steelers tonight.
That's what decides. This is irrelevant tonight for Cincinnati, but it's big for Denver because Denver still has a fighting shot to take number one in the AFC.
They have to win out. The Patriots have to drop next week, correct?
Against the Bills, who have now been eliminated from the playoffs, by the way. So,
dude, every
but
team
still have one of the best defenses in the league.
Well, not just that. every team that's been eliminated all of a sudden is playing with their ass on fire.
Yeah.
Anyone who had like a whisper of a chance last weekend seemed to not care.
Yeah. On the flip side of Pittsburgh, you got the Ravens dropping a dud against Houston. I mean, Case Keenum hadn't played in the NFL for a year. You know, like he hadn't played since the end of last season. He's been on the practice squad in St. Louis. He just walks in and beats Joe Flacco. That's shameful.
Yeah.
I like how you put that. Shameful and pathetic.
That is pretty shameful.
I didn't watch much of this game because it was over before you could blink, but the Cowboys clenched the NFC East with a resounding victory over the Colts, man. That was one of those deals. I blew my wad kind of watching New Orleans Falcons at 1 p.m. And you know, I go and do whatever for an hour and you come back to the TV, you're like, oh, I've sufficiently stretched my legs. I won't get a blood clot because I'm on the couch all day, so we can come back. And I turned it on, what, like midway through the second, it was 28-0? Or was it midway through the... Yeah, it was horrific.
So we talked about this on the show last week, and I actually heard people talking on Baltimore radio having the same conversation before yesterday. And I got to say, like, I got to bring it up because I look better because we're having this conversation. Let's talk again about how Andrew Luck compares to Russell Wilson. Because as far as I can tell on Sunday, it was pretty clear who was far superior at this point in their careers.
Yeah, I love to just dismiss Russell Wilson anytime brings him up. Anyone brings him up, you just go, "Oh, you mean the game manager, the successful game manager?" But that dude is—he's graduated a full playmaker and like good playmaker quarterback.
He is good,
and it's so frustrating because
I saw him play baseball in Wilmington when he was a sophomore, and I would have never thought that he could
do what he did.
Do that in the NFL? No way. He's good.
Interesting.
When he played for NC State before he transferred to Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just knew he did baseball and had – who did he have like kind of a almost honorary contract with? Was it the Mariners he was digging off with?
Rangers. He played briefly with the Rangers spring
did
training.
Did he really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a negotiating tactic, honestly, because he's making so little right now as a third-round draft pick on a rookie contract.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing I take solace in. I think I could have a good year and top what he's making. Not really, but I need that. I need that belief. Sean, just tilt the mic more like a robot's penis in
okay.
your face.
That's gotcha like this?
Exactly.
All right.
So I
want hold on, it's got tightening things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tighten those. See, again, he's mechanically inclined. He knows how to tighten.
There we go. I gotcha. I know how to put that robot penis right where it needs to be.
You got
to
eat the mic.
There we go. All right, I gotcha. Is that better, John?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It gives it a much richer sound.
Right on. We want to sound nice and rich out here.
This way you can turn around and look at Howie and it won't kill your audio. So we had Steelers, we had Cowboys, and we've tiptoed around it a bit peripherally. Seattle just smashed, and I mean smashed, the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Sunday night. I feel really bad whenever a season goes that way for a team, and the Cardinals are what, like on a third string quarterback at
and
this
they
point?
were playing good football when Carson Palmer went down too.
Very good
football.
I mean, they were at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, 3 games ahead in the West.
I don't really know. I mostly follow my team, but I just know they were playing. I mean, Howard might know that, but
I know this. Even when he went down, Bruce Arians said we can win the Super Bowl with Drew Stanton as our quarterback, and I still believe that statement. I just don't know when Drew Stanton's gonna come back.
Yeah
I mean,
well, I think because they were playing well for what did he play for, 2 games after Carson Palmer went down? I think
I believe
he's actually 5-3
early in the year,
so he's not
early in the year he went 2-1 as their starter. Palmer came back, ripped out his knee ligaments, and then, he went, 3-2 with the, that would be the
You're math. The math genius, man. Come on.
3-2. You're the Asian. I want to hear the plinks of your abacus. Yes. So, they're on to God knows who, and it's, people ask.
Yeah, who is it?
I really don't know. I forgot his, was that it?
Yeah. Lindley is the current Arizona quarterback.
Gotcha.
They do have Logan Thomas of Virginia Tech.
Yes, he was their backup last night, Logan Thomas.
They apparently, I didn't see the whole game. I just came in and out. I don't know if they ran plays for him, but they do apparently have some packages designed for Logan Thomas just to run the option, I guess. I don't know what it is, but they're that desperate to generate offense.
I thought
they
just put some guys in their own backfield, so when he turns it over, it at least won't be disastrous and they'll be stopped. It was a bad game, and people have asked a couple times, is it more heartbreaking if your team just eats ass all season or if they're on top for a lot of the season and then this happens to them? You have to be a dunce to think it's worse if your team is just bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all the good teams in the league deal with injuries. You know what I mean? I don't know how many times I've looked at the roster for my favorite team and been like, man.
You don't have to tiptoe around it. You're a Packers fan.
I am a Packers fan, but I didn't know we were going to get into that already. But I mean, we've had a couple years. You know, we've had several years where you go through our roster and you look and you go, if we had him back, I mean, that's, you know, big pieces of the defense, the offense. We had Aaron Hurt for whatever it was, 7 or 8 games last year. I mean,
You grew up like me in this area, so when did you hop over to the Packers, you traitorous F?
I think when Jack Kent Cook died and when Dan Snyder started taking over. My sister is actually a Packers fan, so when I started learning about that, that the team owned the city and that they didn't really have one owner, and as I was learning about this, I was sort of watching what Dan Snyder and the new ownership was sort of doing to the team, and I was like, I kind of like that a little better. And then I saw Brett Favre play, and that was –
carpetbagger.
That's pretty bad. Pretty much took it. But yeah, I mean, I was watching the game when he came in for Mikowski, man, when the Magic Man went down and Brett came in, I was watching that game and I was like, this guy can sling it, dude. I was like, this guy's awesome. And now I can't stand Brett Favre, but
that breaks my heart.
Yeah, well, he's made a cartoon of himself, man.
In addition to games, the top three that we got to, you also have San Diego pulling off really a miracle, I want to say.
I turned that game off, man.
I turned it off so quickly. If you're into Twitter at all, and I actually have a sound bite for that.
I lasted till the start of the fourth quarter, and I just stopped giving a well.
We can say I'm about to drop something dirty in the.
I just stopped giving a shit about Phillip Rivers at this point until the playoffs come. I still think San Diego can defeat New England or Denver in the playoffs, but they're such an inconsistent team. I don't see them winning three games in a row in the playoffs. So I just get tired of watching how inconsistent that team plays. That's why I turned it off. I didn't think they'd come back, but it's slightly impressive, and yet I'm not even going to watch a highlight reel. Just because, like, Phillip Rivers will disappoint you, San Diego. That's just what he does.
Well, he's hurt now, too, isn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, they said he threw his back out or he blew a disc or something like that last night.
Bulging disc.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And it has to be treated once the season is done.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They said it's, like, sticking out of his back. Ugh. Like, yeah. All gnarly style, dude. Like,
I picture, like, an Oreo now. Like, an Oreo just bulging out of your flesh. If you do the Twitter thing, Eric Stengel, I think his name was. He was, like, a longtime producer of Letterman. He's a huge San Diego fan. And he just has crazy funny tweets about it, man. So that's worth keeping up with. And that lets me segue into a sample I took from Lilyhammer, which I have watched compulsively on Netflix the last couple of days. Here it
Fuck
comes.
Fuck the social media. Playground for teenage girls and fags.
There you go. Steven Van Zandt's take on Twitter and what have you. Sorry,
it's so funny hearing him say that because I watched some of those Bruce Springsteen videos from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the way that him and Bruce used to share the mic on some of those videos is so homoerotic. Well, I don't even know if he realized it at the time. Dude, they're both like slurping the same cock. It's weird.
It's even gayer because it's like, big old Clarence. The large black man would start tooting on his saxophone, and then they have to look at each other like starstruck girls, like, ooh, Clarence is laying down some notes for us. And then, yeah, they're like back to back against the same mic. Yeah. pretty much ass to ass finale of Requiem.
Well,
for
I
a
mean,
dream.
Mick Jagger and David Bowie are dancing in the streets. Oh, yeah. That's a pretty damn gay video, too, dude. I mean, good Lord.
That is overpoweringly so, yeah. let's see. Falcons. Falcons, in addition to San Diego pulling out a miraculous win. And again, I woke up to a bunch of tweets because I had gone on and on about, like, if only Rivers' passes were as accurate as his sperm because he has something like seven kids at this point. I woke up to a bunch of people who are like, hey, they won, asshole. And I was like, well, so they did. The Falcons also pulled out a big one in the early game, one of the early games Sunday. I know. You didn't watch it?
I got to call you out on this. Just
sure.
You need to say this on air. You said it before the show.
I do like men.
In particular, you like the men of the Atlanta Falcons. You actually believe that they can win a playoff game.
They've looked better and better the last couple of weeks. I mean, I'm not going to...
They can't play away from home.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, they're going to have a home playoff game.
Yeah, that's true. They almost... I mean, their offense can produce. I mean, they've got two good receivers and a running back. And, I mean, Matt Ryan is...
I'm looking at who they might play. So let's say they win next week against Carolina. Even if Carolina wins,
and that's
whoever
just,
wins,
that's
the
a
South,
one game playoff for the South.
Whoever wins the South is going to play, in my opinion, either Arizona or Detroit.
I think one of those isn't the hardest victory, man. Arizona.
I would actually think it'd be
Detroit.
Easier to beat Detroit.
I think it would be harder to beat Detroit. I mean, I think Detroit's pretty good this year.
That was pretty ugly, the way that they won yesterday against Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah,
they win by like 6
true.
Points over Jimmy Clausen. Like,
that's true, but that's the thing. The Bears have always been talented enough. If you take Jay Cutler out of there and put actually somebody who can get their head out of their ass, the Bears can actually be a decent team.
I'm just saying, like, how that defense is horrible for the Bears right
now.
So
they are. You're right.
How did they only score 20 points? They've been struggling to put points on the board.
Their offense has been weak for, I would say, the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But you know what? I guess if you're pulling out the wins, I really don't care. As long as you're getting it done. Will the wheels come off? with the postseason. Yeah, I don't know, what the hell.
I mean, again, Jim Caldwell is of that fame. His final, I believe it was his final game. No, it was his final playoff game as the Colts coach, where he called timeout in order to help the Jets set up for a field goal to beat the Colts.
I mean, he is the dumbest son
like,
of a bitch.
Timeout, like, in terms go of ahead, looks. Win the game.
When it, I don't care if he's brilliant. In actuality, when I look at the sidelines, he is maybe the dumbest looking coach in the entire league.
He looks confused. He's like, does. What down is it? Is the look on his face.
He's like, it smells like hamburgers. Says it over there. Why do I smell hamburgers? He just has a weird, yeah.
Are you guys cooking something?
And it's a weird calmness. I hate when coaches have that fake calm. Lovie Smith did the same thing. This just sounds like I hate black coaches now. Lovie Smith would have this weird, placid.
Yeah, but Lovie Smith has a look on his face like he's holding in a fart. And that's what that is. Yeah. It's like that kind of, have you ever seen, he kind of like, he gives that look and he's squinting a little bit.
He'll purse his cheeks like Paul Mooney, too.
Yeah.
Like he's
like, oh, man.
It's almost like sucking him in, like yeah. Little Richard. He's got a weird look. Yeah, I don't like either of those guys on the sideline.
Man, I feel like Lovey's actually into the game, though. He seems way more into the game.
I'm not saying he doesn't have sideline blow-ups. It's just my memory of, like, what, the 10, maybe something Bears games I saw. During yeah. Lovey's tenure, 15. I don't remember them. I just kind of remember him sitting there like a cigar store Indian. There's yeah. a reference for the 15-year-olds.
Well, I've seen him not be near as mad as I would be as a coach to some of the things that Cutler has done.
Oh, you know yeah, I
mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of stands there a lot of times and kind of lets Jay act like he does. And that's, I mean, yeah. You can't be like that.
Let's see. What else do we have? Washington pulls one off against the Eagles. That was interesting. I actually missed most of that, sadly. I think two of their four wins this season I have not been present for.
And they're
not
all
three.
And they're already talking about RG3
sticking around.
Can be good now. They're already like it, one game, dude. One game, and everybody. They were talking about it on the on a show I was listening to this morning. They were talking about how they were like, oh, if he gets the right coaching and you know what I mean, works on it, he can be good. And like
you can say
weeks,
you like the Junkies.
Four. 4 weeks ago, yeah, I was listening to the Junkies this morning. 4 weeks ago, they were talking about, nope, he's done. He's done in town. Like, let's trade for him. You know what I mean? Like,
dude,
it's a
weekly rumor mill thing.
Know.
Now the scuttlebutt, I love that word. I'll use it all the time. Is that both he and Gruden are coming back next year?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm trying to think what was a lot. Oh, like this week's rumor is Mike Smith, regardless of playoff performance by the Falcons, he's just gone.
Yeah.
Which Howard was saying that could be likely. He heard some words out of Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons' mouth, that
yeah,
really led you to believe.
Some of the ways that he's failed to support his coach lead
yeah.
us to believe that he's very interested in firing Mike Smith, especially, and that's the new rumor now that Rex Ryan looks to be on his way out of New York. If you can get a defensive coach into that Atlanta setup, like, you know, they just need a defense right now. I mean, the offense could be better, obviously, on the front line, but they have the tools, the
yep.
skill players on offense.
Yep.
It's just, if you could get Rex Ryan in there, that would be a really good team.
How could you get excited at all about Rex Ryan?
He's like, never had a good quarterback. Who have his quarterbacks been? He's never had a good quarterback. And he's, last season,
aren't you the guy that loved
defense.
Geno Smith? Can I just savor this?
Well, yeah, but I mean, he hadn't performed, period.
But
what
you
can
loved
I say?
Him.
Yeah,
no
I really wanted Geno Smith
I'm
to play well,
I'm the dumb
well,
son
man.
Of a bitch. You like E.J. Manuel. I like Geno
no,
Smith.
No, no, that's different. My friend is E.J. Manuel's agent, so I was rooting for E.J. Manuel.
Okay.
That's different. I always had Geno's back, but I was just rooting. I was hoping against what I saw in college for E.J. Manuel. Even Jimbo Fisher, apparently the rumor is, Jimbo Fisher did not back E.J. Manuel when the Bills called him. He was like, I don't know, like, we weren't as good as we should have been when he was our quarterback was kind of the message from Jimbo Fisher out of Florida huh. State. And he said, honestly, because EJ left school at the time that Jameis Winston showed up on campus. And Jimbo, like without even having seen a snap from Jameis Winston, was like, listen, the kid who's about to play probably would have taken EJ's job if he'd stayed in school this year. He actually said that without
wow.
having Jameis play a snap in college. So I have no idea how EJ got drafted as high as he did. I'm
wow.
sure he did well at the combine. But yeah, like there was a lot of reasons why EJ probably shouldn't have been drafted where he was.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
Howard knows a lot about this kind of stuff.
He loves like anyone who has an immediate they just came out of college type thing.
Right.
He's big on college ball, so he can.
I've been dissing Marcus Mariota left and right.
Well, no,
left
but I'm
and
saying,
right.
I mean, even your NFL knowledge, dude. I mean, I'm impressed. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a football fan. I'm a baseball fan, but really, I mean, I follow my teams pretty much. You know what I mean? I don't really look league wide. I don't really do the fantasy thing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I do play fantasy, but I'm more of a free agent fan, really. I guess my background is I followed the 49ers. I did jump that bandwagon when we were kids.
Yeah.
But as I watched all the players leave that franchise, I was like,
yeah,
you know, it really was just about the players.
Yep.
So I followed Jerry Rice till the end of his career, and I just I got in that mentality. Like, when we were in high school, I really became a true free agent fan because I followed Randy Moss at Marshall.
Oh,
we had,
yeah.
like, one of our local PBS stations used to – because, yeah, we're
is
in
that where
the D.C. area. No.
Oh, okay.
We had a local PBS. I think it was like Channel 54. It was like one of these really garbage, like low-end public TV.
Not like channels. Fairfax County Public Access.
No, sir.
No. This was like a broadcast channel.
Okay.
And they had the most pathetic fundraisers. You know, it wasn't like a national PBS station. It was ghetto fabulous the way that they did fundraisers. But one of the big things they did was they showed Marshall games the entire season that Randy Moss was a senior.
Huh.
And so, like, I just watched that guy play in college, and everybody's like, well, they're in a garbage conference.
Who cares?
And I was like, I've never seen someone at any level quadruple covered. Mm-mm. And, like, you watch it, and you would still catch the ball. I'm like, he just ran through four people and jumped over the final three.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So, to me, when he dropped to the 20th pick, I was just like, that's it. I hate everybody else in the NFL. I'm just rooting for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And then, like, basically because of Randy Moss, every team that he had a bad breakup with, I was like, screw that team. Just Randy forever, man.
I mean, hey,
Randy University.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think. I mean,
he better be.
As much of a bouncing around type of career that he had.
The guy is a freak.
He's doing stuff now. Like, he's the guy that is the model for what they're trying to make receivers now. Guys like Megatron and stuff like that. Randy Moss was doing that way back before any of those guys were around.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Back in those days, the only guys that were even near the body type that Randy Moss were guys like Jerry Rice and stuff like that. There wasn't anybody that was that tall that could jump like that until Randy Moss came around, and everybody was like, wow.
But, now today, I mean, with him out of the league, there's a bunch of guys I follow, including actually your boy, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is, in my opinion right now, just, since I follow everybody, looking for the guys that I think are best, I'd say he's probably the MVP of this season. Like, going into week 17, I think Aaron Rodgers had the best season of anybody in the league, so... Except for J.J. Watt, maybe.
I'll dispute that only
J.J.
because
Watt
of
his position. I mean, he's done some things too. But, I mean, Aaron's
who you
good.
Got, John?
I have Kevin Durant's mom. She's the real MVP. Never forget it. All right, I guess.
Kevin Durant.
I'll just leave that one out there. All right, the last couple of games, Bills dropped to the Raiders, a team that a lot of the season. You could make a case for being the weakest in the entire league, them or the Bucks, and they managed to take one from a team that, in theory, was still playing for their playoff lives. So,
as I pointed out on the show last week, though, the Bills did not score an offensive touchdown when they beat Green Bay.
Yeah,
didn't. Why is anybody surprised they lost to Oakland? Why?
I've been surprised they've been winning the last 4 weeks. What do you want? Like, anytime you're like, guess what, guys? We are improving by going with Kyle Orton. Anytime you speak those words, just not good. Just not good on you. And let's see. Oh, did we touch on the actual stomping nature of the Cowboys win over the Colts?
Not enough.
I don't think we did enough either.
I think we needed... take a huge shit on the Colts season. I mean, that's pathetic. This close to the playoffs, they're a division winner.
Yeah.
And they're going to drop a dud like that.
Yeah. It reminds me of the old Colts days where they would have the South locked up by week 11.
Right.
The only difference is now it's just because the South is unbearably bad for the most part. And back in the day, they just were always 11-0 and 12-0 and that kind of stuff under Peyton.
I mean, they still get to host a playoff game. I mean, the wild card picture is pretty wide open right now in the AFC, but. Yeah,
I would have expected more than that from Andrew Luck, though.
Do we want to do that as the middle segment, the playoff picture, before we get into next week's games?
I don't think it's worth it, man, because there's too much up in the air right now. I really do think there's way too much in the air. As far as, do you want to go through the teams that are still even available?
If we can do it interestingly, if we can make it sexy.
I mean, I'll put it like we can put it in terms of the games upcoming next week that are important. I mean, Kansas City's playing San Diego, and that's going to be a huge game. That one's going to not decide all the marbles, but basically, if San Diego wins it, they're in. If they lose, then Kansas City has a shot. If Baltimore loses,
like, okay,
it gets weird after that. Just the math is stupid, man. Basically, at this point,
yeah.
I'd rather look at who in the AFC could actually beat New England or Denver. That's an interesting conversation.
All right, give me that. Yeah. Give me that segment, sir.
Ah, I mean, what do you guys think? Like, I always have to – the reason I think Pittsburgh making it into the playoffs, actually clinching a spot, because if they had lost yesterday, they'd be in danger of missing it altogether. Big Ben, no matter how poorly he can play during the season, will always play well in the postseason.
That was going to be my thought exactly. I would almost pick with the Steelers, with Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger, I would almost pick them to be, if they get a shot to be in the playoffs, anytime you got Ben, it's there's a good chance you can win.
Or he could lose to Tim Tebow. But
that's true, too. But, I mean, there's, you know, Ben does, he does, and he plays much better in the playoffs than he does in the regular season.
What about Andy Dalton? How far you got him going if they make the playoffs in Cincinnati?
I have him going home.
Yeah, I mean, based on experience, I wouldn't say he's going to go far, but I didn't think he was really even good enough to lead a team to the playoffs anyway. So, I mean, he's already, I think, surprised some people. You know what I mean?
But, all right, so this season, if you had to pick between Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco to lead a team into the playoffs and have some success.
Flacco.
I've come around on Flacco, man. I respect the fact that he just does not have a lot of weapons on offense, and he still kind of gets it done.
No, and if you look at Flacco, too, man, he's been one of those guys. He's been consistent his whole entire career.
Very least.
He's a good quarterback. He's
you can just do the whole lazy rationale, too. It's right. Like, who's actually gone all the way? And
yeah.
What it, like, this isn't like you're comparing Flacco to Phillip Rivers, where you've seen like flashes of brilliance, but he's never done much in the postseason.
Yeah.
You're just comparing him to this one and done turd, like year in, year out.
Well, and the Ravens won a Super Bowl
exactly
with a way less inept quarterback in who is it? Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Than Flacco. I mean, with a defense like they had with Dilfer and Flacco at quarterback,
they could have won a quarterback.
But like, speaking of Dilfer, who ran that defense for the Ravens?
Ray Lewis.
Marvin. I'm going to talk about Marvin running that Ravens defense in 2000, and now he's running the Bengals. So. If he could do it with Dilfer and that horrible ginger, think what he can do now in Cincinnati.
That horrible.
And he's got an opiate quarterback, man. Like, you never know.
Isn't Andy Dalton a ginger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, even heavy more so. Ginger, too.
Oh, yeah. Heavy, yeah, like, he's freckled and pasty and stuff. Like, yeah, you could see his hair is almost the same color as the Bengals helmets. Yeah, like, he's gingered out, dude.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, outside of the AFC North, I mean, everybody always looks to New England and Denver as being the favorites right now because you got Brady and Manning.
And they are. So. Yeah. The weirdest thing, what I find most fascinating about the Broncos, and maybe I'm just ignorant and talking out of my ass here, and I probably am, the Broncos have, like, fallen out of the whole national conversation the past 4 or 5 weeks. Like, somewhere along the way, all of a sudden it went from, like, oh, the Broncos are the favorite to win all this, and they're going to get the majority of the AFC press. And then it was like, oh, remember how we buried New England when they went 2-2? It turns out that one loss doesn't end your season. And we were idiots. And now they are the golden children of the league. And ever since that happened, and as you've driven home on the show a couple times now, Howard, that I don't want to say they've become a power running team, but the Broncos have at least started to get heavily into the run. Like, no one talks about them. I guess because they don't put up fantasy stats anymore.
Well, it's just like you said, dude. It's not as sexy.
Yeah.
Running the football is not as sexy as throwing.
It is
300,
just like I said.
It's not as sexy as throwing for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns every game. It's just not.
It's just that's going to be the what ultimately brings down the Colts, I feel. They can't run the ball.
Yep.
Everybody just learned that against the Cowboys. So.
Every opportunity to pick on young Mr. Richardson. Why? He's just lurking. He's gonna explode.
No,
he wasn't even
the primary running back in this game. All right, it was the dude off practice squad. What's his name? McCarron.
That's what
he was the leading rusher.
Which guy who's like Marky Mark in Invincible or whatever the hell came off out of nowhere and outperformed Richardson this time? It's going to be Sandler as the water boy. One of
some dude that was bagging groceries last week.
It's just like who that? Yeah, you didn't have to give up any picks. You can pay pretty much.
The guy that loaded up your TV at Best Buy yesterday.
The leftover pretzels you swept up from the game, you can pay him in that. Who outperformed Richardson for the Colts this week? What? Nobody and nothing.
So, I mean, nobody's taking them seriously, but the other two teams at the AFC that are fighting for a playoff spot where I almost just don't care, it's San Diego and Kansas City. I mean, who are those two teams?
I don't care either.
Who's making the AFC Championship game out of that three or out of that twosome?
I'm very dumbfounded on that. I don't have an answer. The Chiefs, like, on occasion, I've caught a game. Like, I definitely caught them just burying the Patriots. Do I think they could do that again? Probably not. But it shows you that they can.
The Patriots can be beaten. Oh, yeah, Patriots can definitely be beaten. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
I would pick Baltimore as a team that could really upset New England because
Harbaugh,
I don't know, there's something about Belichick where he has terrible matching. He matches up terrible against some coaches. One of them is Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody might wonder how they only won by a point, New England over the Jets yesterday, but historically, Rex Ryan's always done pretty well against Bill Belichick, and I think the same goes for
I don't think he has that good a record against him.
He's done surprisingly well. They've knocked him out of the playoffs a couple times, man. And the same goes for the Ravens coach, John Harbaugh. He does pretty well against Belichick. It's a lot harder for Belichick to win now that he doesn't have like practice film in order to cheat when he plays other teams.
Well, everyone talks about that, ever since the film shenanigans got discovered, they don't have a ring.
But yeah, no, like two of the coaches that he struggled with ever since then, Rex Ryan, John Harbaugh.
I nominate Tom Coughlin as a coach he's
friends with. Yeah, I was just talking AFC, but he clearly can't even beat Tom Coughlin. So,
yeah, I think the Ravens, I think the Ravens always have a chance. I mean, especially playing New England. I mean, that's a division game, and they always seem to play him well.
There's a part of me that does want San Diego to perform well this year in the playoffs. I'm like, one of these years, Phillip Rivers is actually going to.
I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind seeing Phillip Rivers do well. I like Phillip Rivers, man.
It'd be nice, and I'm rooting for LT to break through one of these years. He's still on the team, right?
Messed up, man.
Oh, I'll never get over a 14-2 coach getting fired for a first-round playoff exit. Never, as long as I live. That is the greediest goddamn move I have ever.
And they replace him with Norv Turner.
Norv Turner. It wasn't like the reanimated corpse of Vince Lombardi.
Wasn't even the big
impressive.
Tuna, man. They could have gone.
No.
Oh, my. I'm trying to think, like, who would you have to fire? It would be like, let's say, replacing Belichick with, I don't know, Jim Zorn.
No.
It's not that bad, but.
The problem is Belichick has rings. Like, Marty Schottenheimer always sucked in the playoffs. That was his rep.
But, like, 14-2. Yeah. When is the last team? Who's the last team that did 14-2?
Oh, man, come on. Don't
like,
go
what?
Into trivia
the
vault.
Patriots doing their undefeated a year or something later?
I think we've had 14-2 teams since.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think 13-3. Like Seattle's 13-3 last year.
Yeah. All right.
I don't 14-2 has been at least a couple of years, man. Oh no. Oh, I can do it. Shit. It was your team. The Packers were like 15-1 like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the best it's been.
And we had a first round playoff
Lost.
Exit that
bounced
year.
Bounced by the Giants, if I recall, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year the Giants beat the Patriots again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was the second time around.
The second time.
Was that the year we lost the NFC Championship to the Giants?
No. The 15-1 year was a first-round loss.
Okay.
I'm
really
pretty sure it was a one and done, and everyone's like, what?
The divisional round, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we can get into this week's games then, Howard. Again, we do the PSA thing so people don't get confused. I'm looking at NFL.com, the scores section, and Howard, correct me if I'm wrong, but there is nothing but Sunday games, 1, 4, and 8, like the usual Sunday night slot. But they close, that is true. On the week 17, they close the season with the Sunday night broadcast. So, yeah, don't look for a Thursday night game, no Saturday crap, and nothing on Monday.
And a PSA for fans of the Bengals and Steelers, especially for people in Pittsburgh, your game got moved. It's the primetime game. It just got flexed. So.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. I know
so that's at 8:30 now.
Do you remember what game got flexed out? Because for a while, it looked like the last 3 weeks that NBC had for that Sunday night game, it was going to be the first time in forever that they didn't have to exercise their flexing option.
I don't know what they had previously, but that's a game of the week. I'm glad they moved that, honestly. I mean, the only reason that was available is, I guess, the other networks have a chance to protect games every week from getting pulled into the NBC slot. And nobody ever thinks to protect Bengals games, because who cares? So
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the only reason they're able to get that game, because it actually matters this year. It's like, oh, what do you know?
Exactly. Broken clocks twice.
Yeah.
All right, so starting at 1 p.m., Panthers at Falcons. Now, 6-9 team playing a 6-8-1 team, week 17. On paper, you'd think this doesn't matter, and yet it is for all the marbles in the NFC South. A home playoff game
against
at stake here.
Two teams that, I mean, if it's Arizona or Detroit, I think absolutely the Panthers or Falcons could beat either of those teams at home.
Yeah.
I think legitimately this.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No one is crazy. No one in this room is asserting that they're even going to make the championship game. But the winner of the South getting one win, that's not.
It's not laughable in the least.
No. That's very doable. Who do you guys have for the game? Let's do some picks. A roundtable pick thing for a couple. I'm going Falcons, man. I think they have much more momentum coming in from last week. And I'll be honest, the reason they lost so many games this season, horrific losses up and down the offensive line.
Yeah.
They're on like eighth string replacements at this point. They seem to have cobbled together something that worked, because look, Fatso Ryan. The Ryan, the bearded Ryan, the one that looks like the evil...
The porn star one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks actually like the evil Spock version of his brother.
What's his name? Rex. What's his first name?
Rob,
okay. Yeah, because it's Buddy. Buddy was the
dad,
the
right?
Fatso progenitor of the line, yeah. And then there's Rex and Rob. And, his defense is not historically bad, but it's up there. But even they should have been able to get something going against that line if it was still that jacked up, and they weren't. Like, Matt Ryan had all damn day in the pocket,
yeah.
And I don't think Carolina's defense is close to what it was last year.
Carolina's terrible.
Yeah, so that's my pick, Falcons. Boys? Yeah.
Who you got, Sean?
I would say the Falcons, too, and just because, like what I just said, the Panthers are terrible. I mean, I live in North Carolina now, and our game that we get every week is the Panthers. I watch a lot of Panthers games.
Oh, wow,
I don't
like
it. It's terrible. Like, I have to go to the bar to watch my game. All I get is the Panthers game, and then, you know, it gets blacked out or whatever. So, but I watch a lot of Panthers games, and they're freaking terrible. Like, they're terrible.
You know what, though? Cam Newton just survived that freak car accident, so I'm going to say, like...
I mean,
JC's riding in the car with him, so I'm picking Panthers to not only win this game, but they're taking it all the way to the second round. They're going to win a home playoff game for the first time in Cam Newton's career.
Is he unbreakable?
You think?
Is that what you're saying?
Is he Superman? Is he really Superman? Is that what you're telling me?
Something like that.
Sam
Something
Jackson
like that.
Grabbing him, and he's like, now that we know who you are,
at least
I know who I am.
Now that he's in a contract year, absolutely. He's got to make up for it in these last 2 weeks.
It's weird to me that people still view him that poorly. Like, I think even with a semi-crap season under his belt, there's no question at them for quarterback. Maybe I'm dumb like that.
I mean, it's tough not to pay him, but I just don't know if I would pay him if I were the Panthers. Basically, I think he will get a big contract
this way.
Next year. But
did Andy Dalton get paid? Yes, then move on.
Man, that's fair.
There's apparently a professor out there. I read this on Reddit, so it can't be a lie because it's on an anonymous interweb site. And the theory is that Andy Dalton is the actual watermark for mediocrity in the NFL. And if your quarterback is better than Andy Dalton, you're doing well. And if your quarterback is worse than Andy Dalton, you're doing poorly.
Interesting.
Like, that is the watermark for, do I need to replace my quarterback or not? Fascinating theory.
That's
all right. In terms of games that have playoff significance, you have Browns at Ravens. No one's going to pick the Browns here. No one.
I'm still mad at Mike Patton replacing Brian Hoyer before that Cincinnati game. Like, Brian Hoyer already beat Cincinnati once this year. I can't believe he didn't get a second shot. Like, to me, it's almost a fireball offense.
Well,
and they had such a great season up to that point, too.
Has it been decided? I mean, how bad? Because we didn't talk at all about the Browns game because the Browns are back to being the Browns. But Manziel had a hamstring injury at the end of the half last week.
It was pretty early in the game.
Is it bad enough where he's not coming back for this one? Is he starting this
know.
One?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. They're out. So
yeah.
I think he looks like one of the unnamed Smurfs. I look at his face and I'm like, if he were painted blue, like, he could totally be an extra on like old episodes.
One of
the
crappy
Smurfs.
Ones. What were the? Okay, you had Papa.
Yep.
There was one with glasses.
Why do you remember Papa first? I wonder.
That was the only one that everyone remembers. Doc. He had the red. Oh, there's Doc. I forgot.
Doc was the glasses.
Was that? Yeah, I just remember Smart Smurf, and then there was Blonde Smurf.
Smurfette.
That's Smurfette.
Smurfette. Okay. Yeah. But like she was made by Gargamel, so she had black hair at first when she was evil.
She was a succubus. Yeah.
She really?
Oh, yeah. She was made by Gargamel to like SNF all the Smurfs and like infiltrate them.
Really?
Yeah. And then like she becomes good and suddenly goes blonde. It was, I don't know if you can call that racist, but it was harassed. I don't know. Something, weird about it.
That's, yeah. I didn't even know that.
There was
Gargamel
Sleepy?
Had like godlike powers, man.
There was a Sleepy one. I can't remember if his name was Sleepy.
That's the thing. No one can really remember
lazy.
Smurfs.
Lazy.
Yeah, lazy.
Like we're
they
all
had a lot of names that were like,
Snow White dwarf knockoffs,
thesaurus names like of Snow White, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they kind of the same thing, but just different, different word.
Was Fancy the one with the
that's
the
a
closeted
Reba song?
No, there was the one with the flower in his hair, and he like I didn't realize he was a closeted homosexual when I was a kid, but
he was the artist, wasn't he? Wasn't he the one that painted?
I was going to call him something that rhymed with Craggy.
They had
there was an artist
that had a whatever you call that stupid thing that they put their paint on it. What the hell
easel? No, the easel's what
the easel's what holds
the palette.
Yeah, the palette. That's what it is. Yeah.
No, he was separate. Then there was the very fashionable one who turns out like I think was probably based on Tim Gunn. I don't know. Who knew? Like it's just like they had this gay character on TV this whole time when I was a kid. Didn't
really?
Even realize it. Totally gay. Yeah. Come on, he's in
was
the
he
fashion.
Like Papa Smurf's roommate or something. Like
they always was Papa Smurf's special a little bit younger friend.
And then you just had the legion of unnamed Smurfs who also live in the village. One of those was
Johnny
Manziel.
Football.
Yeah.
They never died, though. That was the good part about being one of those unnamed. It wasn't like being a red shirt on Star Trek.
You were still Cobra.
And they weren't ever involved in any of the nonsense that was going on with Gargamel, either.
All right. So we have that Panthers at Falcons game. And then we had the Smurf game. Smurf Bowl.
Smurf Bowl. Ravens got a win, and they need help in order to make the playoffs. So, fuck you, Joe Flacco. You've done terrible. Like, I don't know how they lost to Houston. And now Houston, I don't know. I got to bump up to that game. They're playing the Jags. If they win, they still have a shot to make the playoffs. So, good for Bill O'Brien on the flip side of what Mike Pettine has been doing in Cleveland. Bill O'Brien was struggling in the middle of the season, and now he's ending in Week 17 with a team in a game that matters. So, good for them.
Yeah, good on them. Yeah, right.
That's a big turnaround. Come on. The Texans are just hungry for even a whiff of the playoffs. Just a whiff.
I want to hear more of J.J. Watt mic'd up. If you want to listen to J.J. Watt mic'd up. They did it about 3 weeks ago.
Yes, it is good.
If only I could include that. Sadly, our show isn't really based on anything audio, so it really wouldn't work. Oh, wait, I'm just lazy. And I guess it would be copywritten, too. So we'll go with that as to why I don't have that audio.
Chargers versus Chiefs. That's the biggest game at 1 o'clock, really.
No, Lions Packers.
Yeah.
Oh, is that one? I thought that's 4 o'clock.
That's 1 o'clock.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Chargers Chiefs is for
Lions Packers got pushed to 4, guys.
Oh, did
it really?
Yeah,
wow.
They got pushed.
Okay. I am currently on the NFL.com scores thing.
Well, I'm looking at ESPN, so people check your schedules, make sure you know what time that game is, because that's the game of the week.
Your real PSA is never trust a word that comes out of our mouths. We are full of lies and inconsistencies. So it could be 4, it could be 1. Lions, Packers. Sean, you're the kind of Packers expert here. They're both at 11-4. If I recall correctly, Lions currently have a win over the Packers, but...
Yes, we lost to them once this year, which... I don't know.
So... The winner gets what exactly? No one's bounced, right? These have both.
No, I'm pretty sure we've clinched a playoff spot.
Okay, both then.
We just get the division.
Okay,
and we win.
And a bye.
Oh, yeah, and a first round bye.
I believe there's a bye at stake
potentially. No kidding.
Yeah.
There's some math that needs to go on there with Dallas as well. I don't know exactly how it breaks down, but we're looking at least 3 12-4 teams, so.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Oh, okay. So, yeah, the Cowboys with a win would be in the mix for a bye as well. Because, yeah, it'd be a couple 12-4 teams with the Packers, Lions, and Cowboys all currently at 11-4.
Yeah.
And all right. Yeah.
Okay. So, really just jockeying for playoff seeding.
Packers and Lions are fighting for one. One of those teams is going to end up 12-4. But then the other one is the Seahawks or Cardinals. Basically, you could have a lot of teams at 12-4, but only one's coming out of the West, only one's coming out of the North. So, you have the Cowboys in the East. as like a lone 12-4 divisional winner going up possibly for a bye, depending on who else wins that week. So, but I'm saying, like, yeah, you don't want to be 11-5 this year in the NFC. I'll say that. So Packers, I mean, that's a game to look at for me, just because when was the last time the Lions won at Lambeau in December?
They have never won at Lambeau.
Never.
They have never won at Lambeau.
And it's December.
That stat is a fact. That stat was found out by me last night. I heard it somewhere.
And I am seconding it.
Yep,
that makes it
never
super
won
true.
There before. But that being said, now that they're saying that, I mean, that's, you know what I mean?
It's a good game, man.
I believe in the jinx. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I was kind of upset that I saw that yesterday. I was like, oh, man.
I know what you mean, but I remember a couple of years ago they had the same situation. Lions were playing Packers at Lambeau in December.
Yeah.
And the Lions, part of their preparation, I'm not even kidding, their practice facility, they opened the garage doors throughout the practice facility to simulate cold weather. I'm like, really?
Yep.
You guys are so used to playing indoors. This is a big deal to you that you have the door open while you practice. There's no way. I just can't see
it. They did the year before when they had the guys on the defense when the offense was out going, just blowing like a soup. All right, Chargers at the Chiefs. We touched on that a couple seconds ago. This is kind of...
both those teams are alive.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever loses is just completely bounced, though, right? No, absolutely no lifelines at that point.
I believe so, and it's going to be a tough road game for the Chargers. I mean, Chargers, just if they win, they're in. That's the formula of success.
Wow, I did not know it was that cemented for them.
If the season ended today, Chargers would be in.
They would be the sixth.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's why it's crazy that they came back the way they did on Saturday night, and it's even crazier that the Ravens lost to Houston with Case Keenum starting his first game of the season.
Resoundingly,
it's ridiculous
too. Like, I was flipping between the New Orleans game and the Ravens game, and I think my first flip was like at the end of the first quarter. And like, they're already down a couple touchdowns or something like that. I was like, son of a bitch, I guess I don't have to watch this. The stuff I'm paying attention to, really, because I feel for the Cardinals, and I feel they've had as snake bitten a year as a team can after starting that wonderfully. So it's two 4 p.m. games, but again, who knows if they were flexed around. Cardinals at San Francisco and Rams at Seahawks. They're both 425 as of now, what I'm looking at on the NFL.com
page. You don't want to watch Raiders play at the Broncos?
No.
I really hope that's not one of the TV games for us. I'm going to be so pissed.
It easily could be, dude, because actually, that's like the only CBS AFC
That's the
slot.
Only 4 o'clock CBS game this week.
So maybe Fox will be our 4 p.m. game. But
all three games on Fox are better than that garbage on CBS.
Yeah, so the Cardinals, correct me if I'm wrong here, if the Cardinals win and the Rams actually get it done against the Seahawks, the Cardinals emerge as the winner of the West and they get the bye?
Would they get the bye? They'd definitely be in the mix
for
the bye.
They would, because they'd be 12-4, yeah.
But potentially, you could also have Green Bay and Dallas at 12-4. I don't want to do the projections right now. Yeah.
All right, but if the Seahawks lose and the Cardinals win, Seahawks are playing next week. They don't get a bye at all, because they're going to be dropped 11-5.
They'd be a wild card. Yeah.
Interesting.
But the Rams already beat the Seahawks this season.
Yeah.
That was
did
epic
really?
Game. Play of the year. It was the play of the year where they had the... the fake punt.
That's right. Yeah. That's when Jeff Fisher was just like, that. Here's my dick. It's bigger than yours.
Yeah.
Like, he just didn't care. He did those two different. Oh, no. They shamed them. It wasn't just a win. It was a shame.
I hope they win,
there's
man.
There's no
I
way the Rams win.
The
there's no way the Rams the win. Seahawks, and I want them to. There's no
I
way.
Do too.
No way just, it happens.
If Jeff Fisher wins that game, he should potentially be coach of the year. I don't care that they're 7-9. Just the way that they've gone out and won without Sam Bradford's been absurd.
They've done a great job. Exactly. That shows you what you can do when you're down to like your eighth string quarterback.
It's basically like working with a salary cap that's 15% smaller than everybody else in the league. That's what happened to them when Sam Bradford went down in preseason.
Yeah.
And all of your planning is out the window.
Yeah.
The 8:30 game, Sunday night, Bengals at Steelers. Howard, again, tell us the significance of this one.
I mean, winner takes the AFC North. I mean, neither of those teams is going to be able to get a bye at this point, but... It definitely seems to me like, I don't know, I'm looking at it, like, I guess the Steelers have a chance really to make it to the Super Bowl. Do you guys think Bengals have any chance?
No. I think if the Bengals got in, it'd be a wasted playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean,
as much as that's like you said, John, as much sad as that is to say with the season that they had, like, or with the kind of dick
the start,
pie.
Yeah.
Well, they just got a big old slice of dick pie when Carson Palmer went down. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. It's kind of sad, but I think
years ago, you mean? That was the saddest thing I've ever seen to this day. When Carson Palmer's knee popped with that one Bengals team,
yeah.
And Marvin Lewis is just crying like the Indian who saw the littering. Like a single tear just down his face.
Because he hasn't won a playoff game since. I mean, that's just been it. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be another one of those years where I think they could beat the Steelers and take the North. But yeah, like you're saying, I think it's kind of a waste if they do that.
Yeah.
Until they show otherwise. Like, it's not even that they just choke in all playoff games. It's just any nationally televised game they seem to eat ass. Yeah. It's very sad, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, you put it best, Sean. It's just a wasted slot. We're like, ugh, who gets the bye?
I mean, it'd be nice, I guess. It'd be a nice story, like, oh yay, they're down to their third string and they made the playoffs. But I mean, like I said, they're gonna lose in the first round if they do.
Ugh. All right. Well, I guess we can punch out on that happy note. All right, folks. Howard, you were scratching the corner of your mouth. Was that code for?
No. I have an itch, man. I haven't shaved in a couple days, so.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of gave myself a grooming, so there you go. I do not look like I have herpes in the corner of my mouth for this broadcast. There you go. People, that was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa. That's my stage name now. Just dropping the rest of it. Keeps me completely anonymous. No one will ever figure it out. John Papa, joined by Howard Flood and Sean Turner.
Yes, sir.
My childhood buddy.
Yeah, man. Good to see you guys,
town,
man.
I was just like, hey,
real. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Can I hop in studio? I'm like,
absolutely.
Why not?
Absolutely.
What are we? Absolutely. What are we, an actual show? No. Come on in.
Man, we got microphones and recording stuff, dude.
You know what? We joke about it, but it looks fairly pro.
Yeah.
It's not fairly pro. It just looks it. PFpod.com is the show's site. If you do iTunes or Stitcher to subscribe to podcasts or stream them, Papa's Football Podcast on either of those, PAPA apostrophe S. We also do Papa's Basement. That is the comedy show, spelled the same way and available in the same ways, Stitcher and iTunes, as well as in papasbasement.com. Last but not least, check out my comic, The Spookies, posted at thespookiescomic.com. It is, you guessed it, a comic. That is why I called it a comic five times. All right, till the next week. We're out of here.